Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to Monday. I didn't realize until I was talking to the gentleman in the studio that over the weekend, I talked to my sister in Boston.
Right.
I talked to my daughter in New York. And then I talked to you guys on Friday.
Yes.
About this this bomb cyclone that came through the East Coast, also known sometimes as a nor'easter. But I think they renamed it a bomb cyclone because it sounds sexier than a
nor'easter. We also didn't have snow everywhere.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing we had.
Yeah, but nor'easter doesn't mean snow. You get a nor'easter in the middle of the summer, Oscar. So a nor'easter is a wind event or just a storm event. A nor'easter is kind of like a cyclone.
It normally brings rain, doesn't it? Some sort of falling weather. And this was dry, but just windy.
But it's
Mike would probably know better.
Yeah.
It's a cyclonic event that comes from the north and east, as opposed to most of the weather that comes to the East Coast from the west and the south.
Essentially, it's an import-export business.
Yeah, like our Vandalay.
A nor'easter. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You guys watched the weather forecast. The nor'easter has
a circular pattern,
rotation. Yeah. Is that right? Is that the way it hit?
But in Asia, they call a hurricane a cyclone.
A cyclone.
No, a tsunami.
Typhoon. Typhoon.
No, a tsunami is
typhoon?
A rainstorm? Thunderstorm.
I thought it was typhoid fever.
It is. Oh.
It's a typhoon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A hurricane in Asia is a typhoon.
Okay.
Right? And, yeah, pony.
Yes, I didn't know that.
No, but you need to know that because you're going to Japan.
I might get stuck in
that. Know the weather patterns, dude.
Yeah.
All of these events are cyclonic.
So yes, circular in nature.
Cyclones.
Mm-hmm. And but that's also the name of the roller coaster at Coney Island. The Cyclone.
Would be a great drink name as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they call a hurricane.
Like an energy drink?
If you order a hurricane drink in Asia, they have the different name for
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you go to Pat O'Brien's in Tokyo, it's not the same.
Yes.
Mike?
When people ask me about our show... and I explain the show to them. I say this on occasion, and now I'm going to say it every time. When they say, what are you, sports or politics? And I say, it's three guys busting each other's chops. I think I'm going to change that to, it's three gentlemen who have no ability whatsoever to have a serious discussion on any topic whatsoever.
Hey, we lived it, man. Yeah. We survived.
Right. Here we are. You're survivors.
You two are the ones that that's the reason I brought it up. I want to hear about what happened. I know. Here's what started the whole thing. I saw the viral video, semi-viral, of the Potomac Mills sign being yanked down.
Mike, if it had anything to do with Potomac Mills, there was a virus involved.
Yeah. They yanked the sign down and people were taking pictures of it, you know, like it's one of those hotels in Las Vegas.
Yeah, an implosion.
The Sands.
You know, and you hear people going, ooh, as it's being pulled down with a wire.
Yeah.
As opposed to like imploded. But it's Potomac Mills, it's that part of Prince William County, and I've lived down there.
They got nothing. In Vegas, there's people that plan precisely placed explosives for months in advance. And what do we have in Prince William County? A tractor.
Let me explain for those of you around the country about Potomac Mills Mall in southern Prince William County.
Great mall.
This is a mall that was built in, I believe, the 1800s. And what they did was they took a series of trailers and they glued them together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. One right after the other, and it's flat, and you walk for miles and miles, and it's a mall.
Yeah.
It's just a bigger
mall. It was billed as a super mall.
Like a super mall.
The Mall of America, but on the East Coast.
Yes.
Well, it's been probably since the 80s, right? It's been around since the
80s. At least.
And it was so popular with the people in the Mid-Atlantic, which really is a zit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
The fact is that people would be bussed in to this mall. little old ladies, blue-haired ladies, yep, would be bussed into this mall. And they didn't have gambling.
No.
So imagine that.
Just the mall.
They just walk around and go, they walk around and they go, oh, Dottie, look at the shoes.
Yeah.
And they walk from room to room to room.
Francis, they connected. Have a 12-screen movie theater. Look at that. Right. Connected right to the Sears.
And in our final days, the area. My wife and I, in our final days in Northern Virginia, we would occasionally venture down to Potomac Mills Mall on the weekend because
we had
no life, and it was cheap.
They would get
and when
foot
we discovered
massages.
It was cheaper when they went to the discount angle.
Sure,
they didn't have that at first. We went down there, and they had these little these little stations there where you could get like a shoulder massage.
Sure,
and Carla and I thought that was just great. That's how pathetic our life was.
Well, Mike, things are getting better and better all the time at Potomac Mills because we had this horrible weather event, and I think we really should start with Friday and the experience we had here.
Oh. Can I before you proceed with this, and yes, I want to hear all about it, the fact is, was the Potomac Mills sign damaged by the wind?
It was damaged on Friday by the wind.
Okay. Anyone who has lived in D.C. for any length of time will know about in the early 1900s what they refer to as the Knickerbocker Blizzard, in which the snow was
don't
so...
Don't go that far
but,
back.
But, Mike, I'm just
come
using
on.
This as
what
an
about
example.
Snowmageddon?
So what this
you
is going to be...
Say the that. Same olden time.
This is going
to
be...
nothing to do with the Knickerbocker Blizzard.
Thanks for your help. All I'm all saying is that this will forever be known
know
as the
that.
Potomac...
Gone with the wind and
so to
Jerry
speak,
Lewis.
Right?
You know,
hey, that I was mean, terrific.
No, I know. Whatever.
No. This will be known as the Potomac Mills Mall wind event because of the sign.
All right. How bad was it?
Mike,
it
no,
was
no
get
bad.
Your brother to be serious.
No,
for, oh,
no snow, no wind. But okay. I'll say this.
No
that,
wind?
No, there was lots
I'm sorry,
of wind.
No snow, no rain, just wind. Mm. This is the all scariest right. I've ever, like, weather event I've ever been through in the D.C. area.
Okay. Let me point out to yes. both of you, yes. Chucksters, that on Friday, I asked both of you, how's the weather up there? And you were both going, nah, 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 nah. Or you said easiest commute in, and you were kind of poop.
Well, it had, Mike, if I poo-pooed it, it was an erroneous poo-poo.
The government was shut down, and not
yeah,
because
and
of their own fault.
It, you guys
schools
didn't make a big
closed.
Deal. Schools
I had
were
been
closed,
out
but.
In it in 50, I was out in it for only 45 or 50 minutes. I didn't realize the scope and the length of the event that we were facing.
The length.
So when you were driving in, didn't you notice the wind?
I did, but it got
Mike,
worse
it didn't
as the
really
weekend
hit
went
till
on.
Like 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It really right, so it didn't hit us at 1 o'clock. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I knew that we were in for something. Are you familiar in the movie Jaws when the boat, the orca, is falling apart and it has that
yeah.
creak that
yeah, right,
it's
right,
that's the way our gutter system sounded all Friday afternoon here. It was just hanging by a thread and bending and beating against the window, and we finally got to see it fall at, I guess, about 1:30.
Yes.
And it was a sensational sight.
Sheared off.
Shoop, gone.
So
the gutter system
much
gone.
How much damage in the general area was there? How much damage?
On our way home on Friday night.
Right.
We had recorded a Tech 411 with Todd Moore, right?
It's beautiful a show.
Thank you very much. Thank
beautiful
very
show. Much. Beautiful.
Notice the moment where Todd is looking at me. He says, are we going to leave soon in the episode? Because he wanted to go drink. And I said, Todd.
I thought he wanted to evacuate.
I would think safety would be an issue.
No, he had no issues with that. He said, we're out of Jack and Diets. It's time to go. So I said, all right. Thanks. At least you came to the studio this time.
Right.
We went around at least five different trees that had fallen down in the Georgetown, D.C. area.
You had a hurricane is what you had.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I drove home on Georgetown Pike, which is sort of a back way I used to get home because then I can avoid the toll road and most of the traffic. I saw not only downed trees, I saw a tree probably a foot and a half in diameter that had fallen across Georgetown Pike but had landed in the crook of another tree. Otherwise, I know the road would have been shut.
People still don't have power.
Yeah, there are still 80,000 people without power. And how about this?
Wow.
On the way in D.C. today in Georgetown, I saw a phone pole broken in half. A telephone pole.
So this was stunning.
Oh, it was horrible. Bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And did they do what they usually do at the local TV station, Channel 9 here in Washington, where did Topper Shut tie a rope around Howard Bernstein's waist and then fly him like a kite? Did that happen?
They're running a promo.
There, by the way. Are they still there?
Yes.
I think they're running a promo.
He is. And I'll say that this wasn't the type of weather where if you were going to walk a block anywhere, for example.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it, right? No. We took a lift from my house to Clyde's, which is, I wouldn't say, 200 feet, because we didn't want a stop sign hanging us in the face and killing us.
Right. That's the kind of thing it was.
That's his go-to place, by the way. It's fancy, but it's got chicken fingers. So that's where Oscar likes to go to eat.
Even the boss. It's the best mix.
I get gift cards.
Did Todd pay?
No,
Todd
people pay? Send me gift cards to go to Clyde's. They know where I want to go.
Like I get a Guanamia.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's your cheap joint.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. Your joint is not cheap, though.
I get hate mail.
When people know your name, they know your name.
Yeah. Right. It's Monday night, by the way, tonight. So I should point out that.
Oh, yes.
$2 margarita night. Parents of the year.
It was the kind of wind on Monday afternoon when I got down to Route 7, which is a little more open up. It's not
right.
You felt your car being pushed.
Oh yeah, people.
You know what's funny?
Do
you notice when Rob tells these stories, he mentions his roots?
Yeah,
because it's like no one in the country knows Route 7 or Georgetown.
All right,
you know, but you like to be specific that way. You like to let people know.
Let me add this.
This is a worldwide podcast. I should point that
out. It's a radio show as well. Hello.
Yes. Yeah, but there are people all over the world that have roads like Route 7. And what I'm saying is that this is a road that is open up. No, but there are people that do.
This is a road that is open up. What does that mean?
It's more open. I mean, it is a
five lanes, six lanes, seven lanes.
Maybe we could take eight lanes and shove them in your mouth.
No. What does open up mean? What is
it? It is a more open up road.
More open up? That doesn't make English sense.
Okay, more opened up, a more open road.
A wider road.
A wider road with less stuff on either side to shear the wind.
What kind of stuff?
Oh, so your point is this road is not tree-lined.
Exactly.
So it would be, this is not a tree-lined highway. This is a highway that has about probably 100 yards or maybe 50 yards on the right and the left.
Precisely.
Between that and the tree line.
And right? I apologize for not communicating that fact, but I said what I wanted to communicate is that I was on two different types of roads on the way home, and they both had
one
different...
One that has trees right up against the road.
Tree line.
Right.
And another one that's wide open.
Yes. And right, neither one was a lot of fun.
And to clarify, for dinner, it was my wonderful wife, Shannon. Yes. It was Todd. It was his girlfriend, Marissa. It was Rob Ford. And Todd did pay for everything.
Did you put Rob Ford at the separate kids' table?
No. Rob Ford is one of the greatest guests ever. He never
leaves. Was he in a high chair?
But he also never pays.
he's not a big payer, is he?
No.
What did he eat, Rob Ford?
He does.
No, wait, hold on. I want to just get back to the windstorm,
I'm sorry.
Okay?
We're at
Clyde's now, and I want to find out. So was there any property destruction outside of the gutter system on our Michael Merrill World Broadcast headquarters?
Well, Charlie Burney, who lives and is a partner here at Podcast Village,
right,
doesn't live in the building.
No,
but half
and
his
starred in that great 70s sitcom.
Yes.
That people might remember. Charlie Loves Burney.
I remember that. It was a mixed race couple, wasn't it?
Weekend at Burney Charlie's.
Weekend with Charlie Burney.
So half his roof fell, flew off, so he has
starring
to get
Abe Vigoda and James Earl Jones. Charlie loves Bernie.
Come here and kiss me.
Bernie. Yeah, Charlie. Yeah, go ahead. Charlie loves Bernie, Saturday night on ABC.
His part of his roof fell out, like blew off his house, essentially.
Yeah.
Whose did?
His roof. His roof was
Charlie.
His roof at his home.
Yes, his home.
Charlie Bernie's roof?
Yes, he had to go.
It's the CBR.
Oh. He literally, he's like, I have to go. Apparently, half of my roof flew off this
evening.
So
lots of property damage around the D.C.
Yes.
We are going to actually get a guy out to handle, I think, about 10 houses on our street lost shingles. We lost about 36 shingles off our house.
God, you got what we got down here in the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's terrifying.
No one really told us this was coming. They kind of just said, hey, there's some high winds.
It's a wind
they
event.
They didn't know how to handle it because they know how to hype snow. They know how to hype rain.
There's no hype.
But wind is different. They don't know.
It was like, stay home. The government slows it down like it does all the time. But it was never Maybe not go outside because you could be hit by some debris.
Yeah, the weird thing is Channel 4, I'll find some, yeah.
In your iPad, because this is the little known fact that we end with the opening segment, because yeah. It was very, very special. We don't talk about it, and he's not, you know, somebody that's going to complain because he's not a big complainer.
No.
But the way I understood it is that when he was coming out to his car on Friday after the workday, Pony Boy Matt Bloom had lingered a little longer at the studio.
Oh, he stayed a little late, yeah, for sure. Had
Everyone was scared.
And, they're like, I can't believe Pony Boy is still here.
He opened the door to the studio and to go up the ramp to the parking lot.
Yeah, right.
And suddenly he was just blown away. You don't need the wind. We got
you laugh. You laugh, but that almost happened going through the alley to get to the lot over there. Yeah. I had to grab like a guardrail. Because I really was getting blown over. Between the buildings, it was like 100 mile per hour gust.
Is that what you were doing?
Yes.
Oh my God. We thought you were having like a smoker's event.
No.
A smoker's event.
No, Pony Boy.
Like you thought he was melting down with withdrawals, just holding onto the rail.
I saw this happen, and someone said, is your friend Matt okay?
We don't need the wind, Rob.
from the mortgage company, said, is your friend Matt okay? I was like, he just quit smoking like 2 weeks ago.
He's on his knees out in the alley right now.
He literally was holding on to the sign in the alley.
Yeah.
Dude, it was bad. Yeah. It was really bad.
It's a good thing you're not flatter.
But unfortunately, he flew all the way to Philadelphia. Let's start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
Is this a... What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind...
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man. I mean, your wife owes
my... My wife is not the issue here. I hope that someday my wife will learn to live on her allowance, which is ample. But if she does not, that is her problem, not mine. Just as a rug is your problem. Just as every bum's lot in life is his own responsibility, regardless of who he chooses to blame. I didn't blame anyone for the loss of my legs. Some took them from me in Korea, but I went out and achieved anyway. I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Oh, f it.
Yes, that's your answer. That's your answer to everything. Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bums will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike. We are live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you are in the meow. We are on air on demand and heard 24/7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Did you know that using Harry's is as good for your wallet as it is for your...
Face.
Using Harry's can save you about $100 a year if you're a frequent shaver. That's another reason I love them. And Harry's is so sure of their blades that they're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/TMOS. Just pay for shipping. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. True story, Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys. They were fed up with getting ripped off. They started
Harry's.
Because they wanted to fix shaving. So they bought their own German blade factory. Yeah, boy. And they began to sell them at half of drugstore prices and backed them with a 100% guarantee. Plus, the shave will be the best you've ever had. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. That is a $13 value for free. When you sign up, just cover shipping. Your free trial set will include, are you ready? Here we go. Ready? Yes, I'm ready. Well, then shut up. Tell them. What? A weighted ergonomic razor handle, a 5 precision engineer blade cartridge with a loop creating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. How about that, huh?
Yeah.
To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/TMOS. That's harrys.com/TMOS. Start shaving and saving with Harry's, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
Roberts came in the mail this weekend.
Ooh.
So he will be starting to shave soon.
Is he a little early with that, or is it just...
Well, he's got that sort of, you know...
Peach fuzz?
Yeah, peach fuzzy mustache thing. And, you know, you got to start practicing.
I think it's time I started shaving, sir.
Actually, his voice is now so low that it's a little disconcerting when you call him on the phone.
Why?
Oh, I was on a road trip with my mom this week, and we wanted to call and ask him a question. And she put him on speaker, and it goes, ring, click. Hello, Shay Show. It's like, oh, God. What happened to my little boy? What happened?
Hello, Dad. Dad, hold on a second. Dad.
That's it.
Dad, did my razor come in yet? Did my Harry's razor come in yet? Oh, man. Dad, can you get Julia to give me a ride to school today, please?
God, it's like you're there. It's exactly like you're there.
I need a ride. Dad, what time's my basketball game? Mom!
The only thing you missed is something like, we're out of chips. We're out of chips.
What's his chip of choice? What's his go-to?
I think he likes a barbecue-flavored chips. Julia is all about salt and vinegar. I don't know.
And you have both in the house?
Of course. Of course. We spend more money we do on snack foods like that than we do on car payments. Because,
really?
You know, yeah, they open them.
Processed
gone.
Foods are ridiculously
just
over.
The kids love it.
Yeah, I don't touch them. I eat, you know, fatty foods like cake. That's where it's at.
The Oscars. Did anyone care? Did anybody watch? Did anybody pay attention?
Me too, and time's up. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all over there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's a little over. I mean, how many times? Like, I'm not saying that the movements are not important.
Oh, you still tripped it.
I'm not going to be totally misogynistic.
But I don't mean that either. I was watching it with my mother and my wife, and my mom said, okay, we understand. We're making strides. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
Well, here it is. And for the women that are out there in Los Angeles, I believe that this is the... They look at this as an opportunity, a sea change. And so you're getting... Sure. You're getting
and
this...
And that's S-E-A, Mike.
Yes, you're getting this pounded into everybody because the fact is that so many years have gone by where there was an opportunity. And this is pragmatic on the part of these women. This is like, stand up and be counted because we want to get more women that have this skill. There are women out there in Hollywood that have the skill sets to direct, to edit, to do cinematography, to do all this, but it's been frozen out. This is purely economic. And I think that we don't relate out in audience land because we don't understand that this is such a ridiculously male-dominated industry, and if there weren't women that were skilled and able to do this, it would be different. So they're using this right now. The reason I think you're seeing so much of it, you're like, oh my God, they're just pounding it into our...
Right.
Is because they're looking at this, they got to strike while the iron is hot. And I think that's why they are doing this. But I will tell you this, that I think they have to be careful because you're not alone where it's like, okay, we saw this at the Golden Globes. We saw this at the Oscars. I'm down with their message. I understand what they're saying. But the fact is, I think they can hurt their own cause, just like you're articulating right now, if they
overdo it,
if they go a little too far. Because the fact is, John Q. America out there does not see people that need opportunity. John Q. America sees a bunch of people in evening gowns and, you know, Harry Winston jewels, and that's what we see. So it's kind of a weird little message. Where the Oscars lose me is that it's just too soft. There's not enough edginess. And I was a little bit disappointed in Jimmy Kimmel because I thought he could have been a little edgier. what Americans want from their hosts is they want to poke fun at the people that are there, because these people are have been hit by the lucky stick. Yeah,
they're all in tuxedos. They're all, you know, they're all in the upper 1%. It's also
tough, kick them a little though, bit. Because of the current climate.
It's
right?
tough because of the current climate. And, you know, and I think that it's necessary to get this word out. And, you know, the sexual harassers and all the people. I mean, you read the story, and I've read the story of Mira Sorvino, and then you see Mira Sorvino up on the screen telling the story about women and women standing up. And it's really, I mean, Mira Sorvino is, to me, one of the classic examples of this. Mm-hmm. This was a stunningly beautiful
rising star.
Yeah. Who won an Oscar, yeah. was the It Girl. And suddenly I was like, where the hell did...
What happened? I thought she retired.
And she got out of it because that monster, garbage man, Harvey Weinstein. I mean, it's just so... I get it. I think I get it, but you're right. They've got to do their work behind the scenes and not just get up and flap their gums in front of the camera.
My mom was no hippie, right? And she has certainly assimilated to this country as a Latin woman that doesn't want to go back to Bolivia because of the machismo and the way that women are treated
in that culture.
Second class citizens. But as we were all sitting there, and weirdly, all on her bed watching television like little kids.
You're all watching it in her bed.
Yes. Because that's where she likes to watch. So
that is very nice, isn't it?
Yeah. And kind of weird. And she said, okay, time's up. We get it. And she said it in Spanish. And I was like I wasn't expecting my mom to say this. Mm-hmm. Right? My mom's usually sitting, telling me to help her with her CPAP machine. And I'm sitting there. She said, I know it's hard. It's always been harder. It's never not going to be hard. But please, most people don't understand what you're talking about unless you've been there, like you just said.
Right. Yeah. And I think that they did that. But the overall look, the bottom line is with men out in Hollywood. And I think the most recent example, would it not be Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah.
Who was nowhere to be found on the red carpet. Right. Was there?
Well, he was on E.
He was on E. He was on E.
Exclusively. Did he get... Did he get blackballed?
All right. He's getting the pass.
So he survived.
He's getting the pass.
Right. So he's going to, of course he is, because he's Ryan Seacrest. And he's got money and power.
He was also, again, when you're allegedly being asked for $15 million of hush money.
Yeah. So they think he might be. He might be shakedown.
Yeah, shakedown.
Well, I thought we'd see more of him on ABC. We didn't see him because of the whole American Idol thing. But and speaking of the red carpet, I thought that the red carpet, which is normally an exercise in just vacuousness,
filler,
was one of the best I've ever seen. And
what
I'll
made
tell
it
you
great? Because I didn't even they watch wrote it this year.
They wrote it. They were prepared for their interviews. They had video clips. They had
it was like a television show.
Okay, good.
Gary Oldman, dancing to James Brown while he was in the Winston Churchill makeup, which was a viral video. They showed those clips. They had different clips ready to go. The questions, I just know, were prepared. And they didn't have people floundering.
No, right.
Because they were trying to grab. I think I detected a level of organization that made the broadcast a little bit better, which was they were prepared, and I thought it was pretty good. The Oscars themselves.
I thought Kimmel's opening monologue was pretty good, and I thought it was a little daring at points. You know, he pointed.
I don't think it was daring.
Not
at all.
Daring. But I know you said that it should be a little more cutting edge. He got a little closer to the edge in the monologue than the broadcast got.
Didn't he do the same bit again where he went into the theater, though, with the moviegoers? Isn't that what he did last year? Isn't that the
same
thing?
No, I don't think he did last year.
Didn't he bring people into the theater? They brought people from a tour bus into the same bit.
And when he teased it, I knew it was going to be a disaster.
Interacting with the common man, it's the same bit.
And when you talk about how long the show is going to be, don't do a 10-minute filler bit, especially that late into the show. Yeah, there was no payoff. There was nothing to it.
Unless something was going wrong in the background that we didn't know.
Maybe.
Right?
But I got the feeling that they worked really hard on the open and the monologue. And they said, I think the rest will fall into place. Good night.
I think that it was adequate. I rarely watch the Oscars where I have not seen the Oscar-winning picture. I have not seen The Shape of Water because I always thought it was some cheap monster movie, which I guess I was wrong about.
Yeah.
I have not. Has anyone seen The Shape of Water?
We discussed this, I think, on Friday, where we said we didn't even know you could find it somewhere, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I guess I'll have to see it now. It was one of those years for the movies. It was kind of meh. It really was.
And again, I still don't like there being 10 Best Picture nominees.
Yeah.
I think it's too many. It is a little frustrating to try.
I was happy for Jordan Peele, though.
Yes.
That was a great moment. Nice moment.
Very cool. Screenplay? Is that
very cool?
Best screenplay, yeah.
Very cool to see that. Also, some actors that, you know, some of these movies that were nominated for Best Picture were awesome, but some actors... Can you say actors and actresses anymore? I don't even know what people want to say.
They're both actors.
Or just people.
People who need people.
I think really deserved what they got. The best actor, best actress, where you sit there and you're like, yes.
There was a pretty good distribution of awards around for different movies. I
went to sleep. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I fell asleep too.
I watched it this morning, and I will tell you that my picks to click, Frances McDormand, loved her. I loved Sam Rockwell. I was really happy. I thought Gary Oldman was phenomenal.
Yes.
Really, really just an incredible job. And it wasn't the makeup. It was Gary Oldman doing that. And then Best Actress. Who won Best Actress?
Frances McDormand.
Frances McDormand.
You had Sam Rockwell, Best Supporting. Who won Best Supporting Actress?
It was Allison Janney for Tanya.
Allison Janney deserved it. Yes. Allison Janney as Tanya Harding's mother.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I was really happy with the actor choices because I saw all of their performances. But The Shape of Water, I've got to run out and see this movie.
And you know what? There's no way you won't be disappointed now because it's been named Best Picture.
We have a clip. We have a clip.
Oh, we do.
It's
good.
Because it's about the sea creature, right?
Yes.
The lady falls in love with?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's cue the tape right now. Here we go. I love you. I love you. I want to marry you. Even though I'm a fish and you're a human being. I love you. I love you. Help me. I want to make mad, passionate love to you, even though I don't have any real organs.
Pony said it's the best interspecies love story he's ever seen.
Pony, did you see it?
No, he's not seen it. Of course not.
Has anybody in the room seen it?
Splash. I've seen Splash.
Yeah, Splash I've seen.
That's all I can tell you about.
Nobody Little Mermaid. All right, very good. All right, so that's anything else that...
The death reel, they really phoned it in this year.
But why do you... I have to tell you, you can't leave it in the locker room. You have to...
You obsess about it.
You just chomp... You chomp at the bit to do your little things on Facebook.
I posted only two or three things.
Save it for how you make your living. People have to wait till here to hear what you say. I give you the full forum right now. Everything you want to say about the Oscars.
The table is set.
You don't think I'm giving you enough, but you do it all night. I wake up in the morning and I see you're saying this, you're saying this, you're... And come on.
All right. Well, I didn't post very much last night. Two or three things is all. And I did go to bed. I will say this. I didn't post after I fell asleep. Because I literally did fall asleep before the death reel. Watched the death reel this morning. It was, as it always is, too heavy on behind the scenes people.
Nobody knows who does hair and makeup. Yeah. I'm sorry
and
they
you know
died.
What? Don't put publicists and agents, even if they're super agents, don't put them in the death reel.
They make the magic happen.
Yeah, well, the magic would be make them disappear out of the death reel because nobody cares.
Let me give you I agree with Rob.
You guys
100%
have no respect.
On this. I agree with Rob. Let me tell you why. This is a television show for people that go to the... This is for
the
public.
Know your audience.
It's a network television show. You know, they relegate some of these awards to a separate night that doesn't get televised. Well, then relegate the death reel for those people to the same night. I don't want to wade through somebody that does, you know, wardrobe.
Yeah.
I want to see... And by the way, Don Rickles... You know, just like instantaneous.
Yeah, barely.
And by the way, Rickles gets a blip. And of course, they end with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that horrible?
Like, oh, that sucked.
And it was a brief clip of Jerry. They should have.
It was
a brief clip
of it.
Jerry should have gotten his own segment because
Gene Herschel Award winner. It should be the top performers that we have lost with clips of their work. I would love to see that.
Now, I will give the Academy Awards credit here. Their montages that set up the acting awards
were phenomenal.
They were amazing and they off the charts.
Where they showed all the performances of actors and actresses. That they ought to do that every year.
And they've
done it this year, so they can't.
And they've
do
got
it
well, they've got this is the 90th birthday of Oscar. So they've got now a 90-year history that they can pull from, and they have access to all of these clips.
Right.
The like when the Grammys reinvented themselves as a music-driven show, they should reinvent the Oscars as a more clip-driven show. And I think that would really, really reflect in the numbers. Yeah.
And by the way, it is all predicated on how the movies are. And
you're right.
And I pray for strong movies, and I was happy for Frances McDormand because, you know, as I said, and here's the spoiler alert if you have not seen it, best movie with a crappy ending I have ever seen. And so she deserved it.
90% of it was phenomenal.
Yeah. She looks, she scares me though. She scares me even when I'm watching her on television.
Yeah, she's a little
and
intense.
That's what makes a great actor or actress. If you're scared, if you have that scary factor.
Oh, like,
you know, if I was riding in an Uber and Frances McDormand was on my right, I'd be just riding along. Yeah. Like, hope she doesn't hit me. You know, I mean, it's just, she's kind of weird that way. All right. So that's it. We got to take a break. When we come back, Oscar and Shannon had a hockey date with their adopted son.
Outdoor.
I want to find out who was sitting next to him.
Hey.
Because I've done that before. We'll take a break and come back with the review of the Outdoor Hockey Extravaganza right here.
Hola, Oscar.
¿Cómo estás, Miguel?
Muy bien. Hey, enough of this Spanish. Let me tell everybody that even though the summer's over, you can still hear the Mike O'Mara Show Monday through Friday right here on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station. That's for whether you speak Spanish or English. Am I right, Oscar?
Sí.
Join us every weeknight on 97.1 The Wave.
Tu estación para la playa.
That means your beach station.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you're going to battle, you need your best soldiers at your side. Guys who you can trust. Guys who know what they're doing. That's why you need the guys at Cornerstone First Financial. Let them fight to get you the best deal possible, whether it's a refi or getting pre-approved to buy a home. Cornerstone First Financial will advise you and make sure that you win the finance battle. They know their stuff. They genuinely care about you. Yeah. And they won't retreat until you win the financial fight.
Do it!
I like that. I feel like I should be playing the patent music in the background. Just ask Oscar, the whole Santana family. These guys are our friends. If you're smart enough to call them, they'll be your friends too. Click their banner ad on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. That's cornerstonefirst.com/TMOS or call 202-625-1221. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Florida. Be smart with Cornerstone First Financial, and we thank you. So, I guess it was 10:30, and Oscar's right. I'm sorry. I don't answer my phone on the weekend. I apologize.
It's okay.
But, you know, we had
a brief conversation yesterday, and I said, well, you just don't like answering your phone.
I hate answering
And neither does your wife.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Because I call his wife Carla when I can't find Mike.
Yeah, and you know, I've called Mike and had Carla answer Mike's phone. And one time it was, you know, I wasn't focused and I just heard like, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey, you'll never guess. And I said, do you think this is Mike? And I was like, oh, I don't.
Yeah, then you realize you have to go, exactly. Hi, Carla.
Hi, my lady. It's a lady.
Get him, please. So the text comes out at, what, 10:30 on Saturday night?
It's about right.
Oscar, why'd they start the game so late?
Well, the game started at 8 p.m. The game started at 8 p.m. It's the NHL outdoor winter series.
Don't they normally start them at 7?
Well, yeah. I think that NBC probably had a lot to do with it because it was a national broadcast that they had allotted from 8 till 11. So they needed to make it last 3 hours.
It was the Washington Capitals against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it was an outdoor game at the Navy Marine Corps Stadium down in Annapolis, my former hometown. Mm-hmm. And man, I would have been there. If I had been in D.C.
Brought to you by Coors Light. If I heard one more Coors Light commercial while I was there, I couldn't tell. I mean, I love the idea. You know, look, we run commercials here as well, right? I get it.
What?
But when you're in a stadium and they keep reminding you that it's brought to you by Coors Light and all you're drinking is Coors Light and it is freezing. This is before the lights go out, by the way.
Oh, there was that. Yeah.
enough with who is brought to you by. We see.
So
we
this
know,
is on
we're
the PA
it.
At the game
yes,
itself.
Yes, oh, okay.
This
yes.
is Coors Light, yes. and they're talking about Coors yes. Light. To say, hey, by the way, passable beer, Silver
hey, there's
Bullet.
There's no slowing down at the Silver
hey,
Bullet
nothing
tonight.
Wrong. Nothing Thank wrong you. With that. And this is a special occasion. And because this, these outdoor games only happen three times a year, essentially, right?
Right.
A season.
They're wonderful.
And they don't happen at the same venue all the time. Mm-hmm. So we're not guaranteed to ever have another outdoor game like this in Annapolis at the Memorial Stadium. That just
How excited were
gorgeous.
People down there? Because they never get anything like that.
They weren't just excited, Mike. I have never seen a better bunch of like hockey fans.
It's just
in
a great
my
event.
Life.
Yeah.
And by the way, you got Benfield Arena. That's where I did my skating with the Washington Capitals alumni when I was in Washington, D.C.
Where is Benfield
in the
Arena?
Area. Benfield's up around Saverna Park, that area.
Yep. Okay.
In,
all right.
Outside of Annapolis. And the fact is, Annapolis is a huge area for hockey because we used to be closer to the old Capitals Center
True.
Where the Capitals used to play before they moved them downtown. It looked like it would have been old. I think, Oscar, you probably got a little old home week from people that used to go to the games. And I bet that was just an incredible
time. And as far as the game is concerned, the Caps won 5-2 against the Maple Leafs. But just the idea of being in that stadium and the way they set up the rink, which was essentially the rink in the middle of the stadium, and then around it, if you were looking from above,
right,
it looked like an aircraft carrier. And the Very patriotism cool. that was just from the beginning of the actual game till the end, game started at 8 o'clock again, moved up, almost canceled because of the winds, by the way, Mike. Almost.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
Because you still had the winds.
Yeah,
they talked about it during the telecast.
Almost canceled. I kept yelling "tilt the ice," knowing you what that meant, and I had to explain that because I remember the last time I went to a game with Mike O'Mara, see the Pens play and the Caps.
I like to think that I turned you into a hockey fan.
You did.
I like to
by
think
by yelling
I,
in my
you,
ear.
You have been to multiple games now, and yes. when you say "tilt the ice," it means you want the other team to skate like they're skating uphill, and you skate like you're skating downhill, which means you will kick. You will keep the puck in the opposition's end and probably be able to articulate it better than I am for most of the game. And the only thing I love the layout. I love the patriotism.
Yes.
I love the event itself. But you were sitting next to did you smell the Febreze when you were in the stadium sitting next to Rofo?
A couple things before.
Actually, Oscar kept yelling, tilt the chair, tilt the chair.
Tilt the chair. Were you sitting right next to him?
Our a wonderful friend of the show, Ralph Rice, fried.
A good guy.
He was able to get us 4 premium tickets. And
Most
I'm talking,
generous listener in the world.
Face value, $175 a ticket.
Oof. What a wonderful, wonderful thing he did.
Now, yes, now fried, quick sidebar, maybe too low. Next time,
for
a little
Christ
higher.
Sake. That is
horrible. If you go too low, I'm watching the glass.
Did he come through with the parking?
No parking. What,
beggars.
Oh,
nice.
I'm just saying.
Beggars cannot be chosen.
The seats might have been a little too low, but I felt special.
Fried, don't give him any more tickets.
No, Fried. I felt special because we were at a VIP line, VIP entrance.
Were you jealous of your brother that he got to go to the game? That sounds like
I was a little bit jealous, but I actually, to be honest, Ralph came to me first, and I could not take the tickets, so I passed them to Oscar.
What are you thinking?
Fried. Again.
He said, do you need 2 tickets and parking? And I said, you know what? Check with Oscar. I don't know what happened to the parking.
When you go too low, it's hard to watch
understand.
The game.
Okay, I understand don't be ungrateful, for Christ's sake.
I am grateful.
Okay, but
I told the man.
You're not grateful when you say too loud.
I told the man next. I said
an aisle seat would have been nice, Ralph.
Yes. Yes. Can you get me a? Can you sit my little candy ass on top of a drone above the ice surface?
Can you
please,
fly
with
me
my
in?
Legs hanging over.
Well, one of the best moments is and look, Fry's the best. We said. Pay attention to the beginning. He knows me very well. I could be just drinking 30 beers and just hanging there.
Coors Light beers.
Coors Light, brought to you by Coors Light.
Right.
He said there's going to be a flyover. Like, they've confirmed.
Oh, cool.
Even especially with the wind and what was going on and the fireworks and everything. I don't know what type of jet flew over that stadium, but it looked like something out of a sci-fi movie. and you could see.
Maybe it was a stealth fight.
You could see the afterburners like you would. Like it just, I've never seen anything like that in my
life.
All I
know is I get a text from Oscar at about 10:30, and it's Oscar and Rofo side by side, all bundled up.
Bundled up. That's a perfect word.
And I remember when I sat next to Rofo at a Capitals game, and Rofo, I think Rofo's actually weighs right around the same I do. He's just built differently. And
he looks bundled up in a t-shirt and shorts.
He's a refrigerator box.
Yeah. He's built like a cartoon character from The Incredibles.
Yes.
Where he's got little stick legs and then it goes up in a V.
Exactly.
With these shoulders. And were you sitting next to him at the, but that's a bench seats, right? Isn't that bench seats?
It's bench seats. And fortunately for us, for the majority of the game, the people that were supposed to be sitting next to us were milling around in the club level, at the bar. I don't know where they were.
So
Rofo was like, he's like, I'm just going
to
move over if that's okay. I said, yes, please. They're gone. Those people are not here.
If it's okay with you, I'm going to spread out a
little
bit.
We're
going
to be okay.
Yes.
Right? Do you think, and I used to think this, that the NHL does a disservice to themselves by having three of these instead of just one Winter Classic?
I think that the popularity of the Winter Classic begat the multiple venues.
Yeah,
I think that's why. And I think, look, it speaks to itself what a big event it is. It's fun to watch on TV, too.
It's good television, yeah.
They do events. They do spectacles. So I don't agree.
I used to think that until now. The NHL Stadium Series is a go-to, like, once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Right.
Because they don't do it at the same place all the time. So the fact that they're in Annapolis.
It's like a tour.
I think it's great that they do it, but I think it's a TV event too. So my answer is I think they work and I think they ought to keep them coming. I think they're great to go.
Was the place packed?
But it still is a terrible TV game.
Oh, wow.
Jammed.
Wow. So it's a tough game to watch. It's a tough game to watch. It's easier if you're in an indoor stadium to watch.
When you're too low.
Again with too low. Of course. Yes.
Like we were row three, which I appreciate. I felt special.
Yeah.
I know I got some TV time.
The premier seats. The entire venue.
Got some TV time. Definitely know I was on television.
The other problem is he was sitting next to the commissioner, and is that guy a blabbermouth? Can I tell you this, though?
Hockey fans, if you've never been to a hockey game, all right? Really. When you think about going to a baseball game, you think about going to a football game, you think about getting down close. The fact is, in a hockey game, and people that know hockey will tell you this, you want to be up a little higher. Remember those seats that we had?
Section 202.
200 level, which is up above. So you're looking down if you want to really enjoy the game.
Fried, I don't want to be that high. Just maybe
okay,
not row J.
Okay, enough of that. Let's take
a break.
You
could just pick out a section.
Much.
I'm sure
I
we can
work something out. I am terribly, terribly
good
sorry.
God.
Anyway, we'll take a break and come back with some more fun.
Mike, I stopped by. Remember on Open Line Wednesday?
Yes.
There was a lady that called in about or the brown eyed girl, the store that they had.
Oh, like with marital aids and stuff?
Yes. I stopped by her store. I patronized her business and she had a gift for my wife. How classy is that?
That's awesome.
Jeez, that's incredible.
How was the parking for the store?
Hold on a second. Which came first, the gift for your wife or you just happening to walk in? Tell the truth.
The gift for my wife.
There it is. Okay. Yes. Thank you, user. All right.
User?
Tit for tat.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you wouldn't have walked into that store if she didn't have a gift for your wife.
She called and she was a fan of yours and a friend of mine now.
Yeah, but no gift for Mike.
We'll be right back, everybody.
The Mike O'Mara Show is made possible by contributions from the Cappy Pfeiffer Foundation, Charles and Barbara Moody, the Stephen D. McIntyre Charitable Trust, the Oscar F. Santana Scholarship Program, Pony Boys Club of Fairfax, the Chubbuck Feuerbach Dinner Club Foundation, and by the generous support of listeners like you who have purchased a bonus show package and have shopped through the Amazon portal at MikeOMaraShow.com. Thank you.
I really like it when Jim Amato gets serious.
The straight
welcome
read,
back
yes.
to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Legacy Box. Isn't it time to digitize your lifetime of memories? You can do it, and all you need to do is get Legacy Box. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and pictures, and they'll do the rest digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, the cloud, or DVDs. It's just like magic, and it's something you need to do to preserve your wonderful memories for all the generations that follow you. Don't be selfish.
Right, Oscar.
Do you have yours? Is yours all done?
I actually worked on it with my mom and my wife yesterday, where we went with our legacy box.
Yeah.
And my mom picked out, I would say, 500 photos.
So you need the big legacy.
We need the big legacy, yes. and the big O, Oscar Santana's paying for it, even though we got a code that gets us the best discount.
Yeah.
Attaboy. You get your originals and new digital files back in a few weeks, and they keep you updated at every step of the process. I can't wait to see digitized home movies of my girls as itty bitties, but more importantly for me, to see my mom. They actually took a, back in the 1800s when they got married, my mom and dad, they took a color. He took the company film camera and brought it on their honeymoon.
Oh, my God,
and
really?
And they went on a honeymoon with a prop plane to Bermuda. They actually, back in the day,
wow.
And you got them so cigarettes cool. in their hands every time you see them. Anyway, Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of memories. All the work is done by hand right here in the USA and has been for over 10 years. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your old home movies, film reels, and photos. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. For a limited time, they're offering our listeners a huge exclusive discount.
Take advantage.
Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to get 40% off your first order. With this exclusive deal, Legacy Box starts at just $45 or save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 40% today. Start with just a few tapes or digitize your entire collection. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 40% on your Legacy Box today. Get started preserving your past, and we thank you.
So cool.
We had a little family outing yesterday. The little guy has been a bit of a handful this weekend.
Well, he lost his bed.
He loves his new bed.
He loves his new bed.
He loves sleeping in the big boy bed, but he's kind of cranky. And
what do you attribute that to anything?
Parenting. Kind of my fault.
How?
Daddy makes a point not to leave the home and golf with his buddies on the weekend.
Okay.
However, there was an invite that I received on Friday for a Sunday round.
Don't want to be rude.
Mrs. O'Mara was in a good mood on Friday evening, so I popped it on her. I said, "What do you think about Friday? Anything big planned there?" You know, and she says, "Go ahead if you want to." And so I went out Sunday, and when I came back, it was just like, "Do you know what he did?" And I know as soon as I walk in the house, "Do you know what your son said?" And they've been sort of chirping at each other, and it was they just weren't getting along. So I tried to make peace, and then at a certain point, I said, "You know what we'll do? I'll take him off your hands." This is the way Carla rolls. She's such a good mom.
Yeah.
I said, "Listen, I'll take him out. We'll go somewhere. We'll go. Do you need any grocery? We'll go to Costco. I haven't been to Costco in 3 months.
Hey,
we'll go to Costco.
Yes.
Let's go out to Costco." And she said, "Yeah, that's good. That's fine." And then we're getting him. I'm getting him ready. I said, "Do you want to go to Costco with Daddy?" He goes, "No." And I'm like, "Come on." And then I have to sort of manipulate him into wanting to go. And I'm not going to bribe him. We don't do that anymore. No bribing.
That'll change when he's 15, when you say, "Do you want to go to Costco with Daddy?" And he'll go, "No."
Yeah, well, he said no when he's 4. So I think he might be ahead of the curve on that one. So we get him ready. His mind is right. And I think Carla's just going to chill back at the house. And he goes, "You know, I'll go with you." I'm like, it's a family outing.
Nice. Now it's become something, yes.
A little family outing, suburbia. We're going to go to Costco.
Solid Sunday.
Isn't that great?
Sure.
And I said, and it's like after 3, so there'll be no one at Costco. Wrong.
Oh, no.
It was a sea of entitlement like you would not believe with these octogenarians. And Carla said, for some reason, every other Sunday is Carla's like bad day where she eats what she wants to eat. And she was kind of ramped up for the free samples with the little guy and her. And I forgot what the blue hairs are like when you approach the free sample tables. I said this to Carla last night. If you go to Costco on a weekend where they're handing out free food,
yes,
you will experience on a much mellower level, but it's a similar type of activity, what you would go through if there was a nuclear Armageddon and there was a food shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the behavior patterns will be exactly the same way because people are strangers and they don't care. You know, if you dropped dead, they would reach over you to get a sample of that granola bar that yeah. they've been waiting for 35 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's like that. And the old people are even worse about it.
Yeah.
And this one guy, so we're back in the back corner by the meat, right?
Yeah.
And there is this lady who is preparing in the microwave Irish beef stew. That is what she's in. And by the way, and Rob, there she is. That's Sunny from Raymond
at Costco.
There she is.
Yes, yes, yes.
As Rob will tell you, being our Costco expert.
Yes, I am. And I am.
You will tell that there are the givers and the takers as far as the free sample people. There are the people that work there that live for it.
Yep.
They get great great joy out of handing out free food to people. They do it promptly. They do it. Then there is the majority of the people, however, do not want to do what they're doing. You can
no,
tell
they would
that
be
they
equally
don't
happy if no one took their sample.
They're
if
mad about
no
it.
No one took their sample.
They're mad about
the
it.
The thing that no, to
they're
set
mad
them
about
as
it
a,
if no one ever got any food.
To set the stage, you're the first example is someone that would say, "Would you like to try some Kirkland Irish stew?" And if you would, it's available in slot number A49 back
yes.
there. And
really
they will direct,
doing their job.
They're
really
do it. And then there's also the next one is sort of Irish stew. Yeah. Irish stew.
And then
Irish
you get
stew.
The people that do not even interact with the public.
The
and
third
this lady,
person, yeah, won't yes. make eye contact with you because
won't make any eye contact
because they
all.
Don't want to give out samples because that means they have more cups to fill.
That's it. And the laziness is stunning. And there was a lady, she has six cups, six little
That's, she's already
Dixie cups.
She's already behind.
She's behind.
And she is yes. sitting there. She's got six cups. And she doled out the Irish stew into this, and there's this Monopoly man who's standing there, and
monocle
he's waiting.
And all.
And by that. The way, now as Rob will tell you, the protocol is she lays out the little samples, puts her little forks in there, and then she's got to move them to the tray up front.
Exactly.
And if you reach over behind right after she does that, you've created a real problem. This guy lost it. And by the way, when this is happening, I'll take the food.
Yes.
But I do not want to be anywhere near the food.
No.
It just bugs me to be around this beehive of activity. And Carla will do an end run. She does not care. She will go in there. This guy's waiting for the Irish beef stew.
Of course.
And after about 45 seconds, he just goes, and he moves off. You know, I'm saying,
how wrong.
Sorry you didn't get your thimble full of potatoes, you old fart.
You know what the best lurkers are, and people will. They'll start going to like a holding pattern, like they're ready to land at National Airport.
Oh,
is
it's
when
horrible.
You have if you have someone that has an electric frying pan. Because that is something that they are flipping involved. They're doing like pot stickers or sausage or something that requires cooking.
And
so
something that's good.
And
to
so
eat.
And mm-hmm. so while they're, you know, it's finishing up and the people start
they start circling.
Yeah.
They
do because
like a figure eight.
Pretty soon I'm gonna get a half a dumpling.
Yeah,
it's coming
exactly.
up. It's coming
very,
up.
It's very, very exciting. It's just, it's the human condition. You,
it
you
is.
Leave there.
What about
people,
you know? Two? You guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
Why? Mm.
Don't you eat enough? Like, why do you need the free samples?
I well, don't.
You're
oh,
come
right.
on. You
I don't need the free samples.
You don't need them both.
I'm
you
agreeing
don't,
with
yes.
you.
No,
I'm agreeing with you. You want an argument, and I'm not giving it to you. I don't. I don't. I'm embarrassed.
It gets in the way of efficiency
samples.
When you're shopping there. You have to stay away
would
from the
like
samples.
Would you like to know
yes.
the salad I did?
Yes.
So we bring our stuff, and we've got a lot of little snack items. We actually buy stuff we normally wouldn't buy. They're all these protein bars.
like,
and
like,
we've got all this stuff that we're getting.
Applesauce pouches?
And it was just, what did we get?
They're very good.
Dried cherries instead of raisins. Which,
dried cherries are great.
Oatmeal,
yeah,
which
vegan.
I eat in the morning, and so we put the stuff on, and we've got about 11 or 12 items, and a guy comes up, and this guy's all out of breath, and he says, "Yeah, I went in and they put my but he's got the stickers that you take the lint off a jacket,
oh, a lint roller,
you know,
a lint roller,
like a package of 40 lint rollers, and he's sitting there,
he has dogs.
the guy is sitting there, and he's out of breath, and he says, yeah, they put my lint rollers in somebody else's bag. I had to come back in and get it. I got my receipt right here. And he's got one package of lint rollers, and we got like 40 items on the
right.
on the belt here. Mm-hmm. And I said, and we're right up to the front, and she's about to take my card. I said, sir, you've got one item. Here, come right in front of me. And he looked at me, really? No, I'm making it up. I'm sorry. Yeah, yes, I'm sorry. I know in this den where people are picking over other people's corpses to get a cracker that you probably aren't, you're not expecting this courtesy, but go right ahead.
Yeah,
go right
do
ahead
it.
For me. And then I got a thank you from the guy. I got a thank you from the bagger. I got a thank you from the cashier. And that was the little solid that
That's
I had.
That's great. And that'll come off. Back. That, Mike, that will reward you threefold someday.
Yes, it's called paying it forward. My goodness.
Well, because there's so snowbirds, and you've said this to us for years, Mike. Like, yes. Go down to Florida from New York, New Jersey, Chicago,
Indiana, wherever
they're going.
Entitled,
right?
Yes.
They're probably not saying, hey, man, you got one item? Go ahead.
No.
They don't care. They don't care. They're like, meh.
Meh.
And
the Buns lose.
Or it's the next spring training game, right? They're going to be late for it.
Lebowski, it's over. The Buns lost. I didn't lose my legs in Korea to deal with your lint brush, sir. But anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need. I'll be going to Costco in the next 6 months.
Good. Maybe. Good. More dried cherries.
Like if I have to. And we'll come back there. That's gross. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Look, up in the sky. Uh-oh. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No. It's Dan the Fan Man. Back with the best prices at the Dan the Fan Man Fanporium. At our numerous locations in Fanassus, Washington, Fan DC, and Fanganistan. Fans so great, you'll be dancing the Dan the Fan Man Can-Can. And don't worry, if you require a fan for the tropics, I speak Spanish.
Sí, por favor, cumple una exhibición de bonas para que pueda dejar de hacer estos promos para el hombre blanco.
Remember, if you need a fan, I'm your man. Unfortunately, the Mike O'Mara bonus show is only available in English, but it's always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
I am still not tired.
I love it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Now, listen, this is important. Please pay attention to this. Some of you know that we have a new policy for Amazon for 2018, but we want to make sure everyone knows it. Am I making myself clear? This is so important to the
show.
Important. Please, please, please. Here's all you need to know. To ensure that we get credit for your Amazon purchase, just make sure that you click the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. Mm. It's super easy, and that will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase, so please start clicking.
Yes.
There have been a lot of changes here and there, but we want to make sure that you are aware of the policy. If you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day, gentlemen?
Mike, what do I always say? I say, be like Mike.
I'm hungry. Mike.
Sorry.
Is the Irish stew ready?
No.
I say, be like Mike. And you can, if you go to Amazon, click the link, the Circleware Breeze Glass Beverage Drink Dispenser. It holds over 2 gallons of margaritas.
There you
and
go.
And the base converts to an ice bucket.
Nice.
This is a top-of-the-line drink dispenser that you can serve margaritas at your next party.
I love that. Amazon really does have everything. You can find that dispenser and more at the top of MikeO'MaraShow.com. So get clicking, people.
News.
Boo. Pretty good. The Pew Research Center just announced their official definition of who is a millennial.
You
hear a lot of talk about
millennials. Finally.
The fact is, though, none of them care.
Well, they don't care because they care about themselves.
That's
but
right.
They might be curious about this. So, the definition of a millennial, anyone born, and this is a much wider swath than I thought, anyone born between 1981 and 1996. So anyone 22 to 37 this year. That means millennials were between age 5 and 20 on 9/11, ages 12 to 27 when Obama was elected, and ages 7 to 22 when Sammy Hagar temporarily reunited with Van Halen.
All good milestones.
Here is Pew's full breakdown of the generations. The silent generation, born 1928 to 1945. I thought that was
silent?
The greatest. That's the greatest generation.
No, they're silent because they're dead now.
Yes.
They're dead now, but would you not agree?
Is no, that is the greatest generation. Yeah. That is.
Why'd they say the silent generation? Well, they probably got smart ass?
No, it's not. I don't think it's a smart ass thing. It probably grew up in the Depression, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
Also with minimum communications, you know, TV not existent.
Marconi.
Radio.
He didn't get into play yet.
They had no way to really communicate in a wide way. So maybe that's why they're
They
silent.
Didn't have color television.
No, they didn't
have black boomers, and white. The second category. Baby boomers born 1946 to 1964.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Those are baby boomers. Hi, everybody. Generation X born 1965 to 1980. Hi, Rob.
You see, I always thought Generation X,
hi, Oscar.
They broke them down into 20 years, and I thought it was 61 to 81.
No.
So anyway, X. But either way,
Generation
I'm still X.
Yeah. And millennials born 1981 to 1996. And for anyone born after 1996, there is no official name yet for that generation. But based on recent events, I think they might be a good one. They might be a good generation.
Tony, hopefully, a millennial, all our interns, millennials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All the millennials are here. And he's, what day, do we know what day without a cigarette? Do we know what
today is 16. I was wrong on Friday. Today is the 16th
Hey, but you're paying
day.
Attention to it. So you're correcting yourself. That is a
and
very good sign.
You're holding on to that sign every time you walk outside that door.
That's right.
That's gussy.
That's right.
Wonderful. The Shape of Water won Best Picture at last night's Oscar. Guillermo del Toro. I love that name.
Yeah.
My name is... Oh, now I got to use my thing again. I'm sorry.
I am Guillermo del Toro.
Sorry, I just felt like saying it like that.
It's like listening to my son direct a picture.
Your son.
Take out the trash, Robert.
I don't feel like it, Dad. Dad! Dad! Damn it, Dad. I don't want to take out the trash.
All right, go to your room.
Daddy!
Catch it, Daddy.
I did a little Stewie on the
Oh, did you?
I don't know what's going on. Guillermo del Toro won Best Director, Frances McDormand Best Actress, Gary Oldman won Best Actor, and host Jimmy Kimmel gave a jet ski to the winner who gave the shortest acceptance speech, which was a funny bit.
It's a great
bit. Because they had Helen Mirren as the spokesmodel showing off the jet ski, which was hysterical. That was a good bit that turned into a great bit when they brought Helen Mirren in there. And, you know, overall, it was kind of meh because of the movies, but, you know, I give it about a 7, probably a 7.
And no one's talking about the length. It was over 4, I think it was 40 minutes over. It was a long one. Yeah.
And once again, I added 30 minutes to the recording and, of course, missed the end of it. I'm tired of that happening. Yeah. Actor David Ogden Steers died of bladder cancer on Saturday. He was 75. David was most famous for playing Major Charles Emerson Winchester III on MASH. The role earned him 2 Emmy nominations, and he later got a 3rd from the miniseries The First Olympics, Athens 1896. He didn't win any of them. David also voiced Cogsworth in the 1991 animated version of Beauty and the Beast, and Dr. Jumba Jukiba in Lilo and Stitch and its sequels. He also played Reverend Gene Purdy on The Dead Zone and D.A. Michael Reston in several Perry Mason TV movies in the 80s. And he was John Cusack's dad in the classic 80s comedy Better Off Dead. So
I have a brief clip. Can we do it here of him on MASH? Yeah, go ahead. Of course
you
do.
He's dead.
Know this. You can cut me off from the civilized world. You can incarcerate me with 2 moronic cellmates. You can torture me with your thrice daily swill, but you cannot break the spirit of a Winchester.
Do you think he was a shark jumping character for MASH? I know MASH had a long, steady decline.
No, I'm not going to throw that on him. I'll give you that the existing cast members that got expanded roles were the shark jumpers on that show.
You're,
namely Klinger.
Yes.
Thank you. When Klinger became the main character, the show was crap.
Not a big Jamie Farr guy, huh?
No, thank you. According to a new report, kids are so used to using iPads and computers, they can't even grip a pencil anymore.
Hey, Rob. Robert, can you grab that pencil?
Here we go. Sorry about that.
Dad! I can't hold the pencil. Ow. Ow, 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 ow. Daddy, daddy, daddy.
Just like his
what's
mother.
What's going on?
Oh, why can't they grip the
yeah,
pencil?
What's up with that?
In order to write legibly, kids are taught to grip the pencil or pen with their thumb and two fingers, which is easy for us because we've been doing it our whole lives. But more and more kids are struggling with it because they don't have the strength and dexterity with their hands. The only way they can write is by gripping it with their entire fist like a caveman.
It's like when you learn how to eat with a fork.
Exactly.
It's so funny. Researchers think it's because they just don't get as much practice and aren't building those muscles up. Instead of doing things like coloring, they're using apps. And they're also not doing their other stuff that they use to improve our fine motor skills. Things like playing with building blocks and using scissors.
Well, look at the bright side. Look at the bright side of this story. Jimmy Cerrito will never have any trouble.
Yay! Fantastic.
Go Buffalo.
Exactly.
Another survey, because it's Monday and we give you a lot of surveys. According to this survey, the most expensive age of the average person's life is 31. Oh. That's when things are going to cost you the most relative to what you're earning. Here's why. The survey found that's the age when most people will either have a wedding and a honeymoon, buy a house, have a baby, or do all of those, or all three. The average person drops almost $60,000 when they're 31, which is much higher than any other age. The survey also found that 33% of them will get help from their parents covering all those costs.
Oh, you know what? It's valid.
My mommy and daddy.
I got
daddy,
help.
Mommy.
We had Robert when I was 31. So we had two kids. Very expensive year. Yeah.
It's expensive.
I waited, and I think it's this business as well, to buy a home or even get involved in anything that was really expensive. But my parents helped me as well. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they're there for. Mommy. Mommy. Mommy.
Daddy. Daddy.
Mommy.
Daddy.
Mommy.
Catch him, daddy.
Though,
daddy. Catch him, daddy.
Though my mom did say, I was like, when I went to see her and I walked through the threshold of their foyer and my mom's there and her tracksuit. I don't know when moms start wearing tracksuits, but that's
it's like a Dick Van Patten thing.
It's like picturing your mother in a tracksuit.
Yeah, and like it's all velour and she thinks she looks good in it and she bought it off QVC. I know she did.
Sure.
And I said, hey, mom, what's up? She goes, hey, gordito. She called me fat as soon as I walked in.
Really?
And I said, Mom, I had, you know, it's been a long week. And she goes, no. 20 libras. She goes, I have to lose 20 pounds, stat, she says.
Wow. I don't even speak Spanish, and I know it's not good when they call you something off the Taco Bell menu.
My mom, forever, you really should lose some weight, dear. Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, a 25-year-old woman, now a little something-something.
Ah, yes.
A 25-year-old woman named Carrie Carmen recently went to see Star Wars The Last Jedi at a theater in Long Island, New York, and she got annoyed when someone in the theater asked for some popcorn and spoke at full volume.
Ooh.
So what did she do?
Hmm.
She grabbed a bag of popcorn and dumped it on them.
Oh, my God.
What?
But here's the detail that really, really matters. The person she was angry at was a 2-year-old child.
Oh, no.
Yes, she dumped the popcorn on the 2-year-old.
Mm.
The little girl's mom claimed she wasn't being loud in general. She just said the word popcorn a little too loud, and Carrie flipped out. First, she started yelling and swearing. Then she allegedly flipped the kid off, the 2-year-old. She may have tried to cover her mouth with her hand, dumped popcorn on her, and hit her in the head with the empty container. Carrie was just arrested, even though this happened back in January.
Okay.
Carrie's 61-year-old dad, Charles Carmen, was there too, and he's also facing charges. An employee at the theater says he's a troublemaker, so they know this guy, and they've had issues with him before too. But as Rob will tell you, there's just something wrong with all women named Carrie. That's all there is too. Just something not quite right. Carrie does it all the time.
Yeah, I don't give her food in a movie anymore. She'll just throw it on some kid.
That's right.
Yeah. Short fuse.
Yeah, we won't even refer to the arrest that happened during the horrific snowcap incident. All I know is Carrie can throw those like Death Stars.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Woo!
Hey, it's your buddy Oscar Santana.
And this is Todd Moore.
You know us from Tech 411, the tech show that's sweeping the nation.
Sweeping.
That's right, and we are here to help get you all your tech news, reviews, and apps you need to own.
It's very simple,
and it's
absolutely free.
So subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the Moore Broadcasting Network.
And for the record, we're not banging.
They're banging.
He does this to hurt me.
It's new content this week, though. Brand new when they talk about Elon Musk.
Todd could not get over the fact that I asked F. Mary Kill to him for Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, and Bill Gates.
Because he wants to F them all.
I mean, I said, look, the easy path is Steve Jobs. He's going to go anyways, right? Because he already went.
Yeah,
true. He couldn't get over it.
Yeah, it's that kind of groundbreaking material they cover every week.
That's the type of quality entertainment you're going to get. Welcome back to the Michael Merritt Show.
Apps you need to own.
Let me ask you this.
You like a good story? Love it.
Is that important to you?
Sure.
For example, what about the mysterious tale of the antique refrigerator that was always empty?
Oh.
Or the heartbreaking saga of the little boy who was conceived out of wedlock at a drive-in movie and didn't find out for 25 years?
Oh, no.
How about the thrilling yarn of a child in the claw machine? Or the mind-bending story of the missing maple syrup caper? You can hear all of these stories and so much more if you subscribe to the TMOS Bonus Show. For pennies a day, you can be in the know. Yes, friends, one simple click at the TMOS website and you're all set. Just click the Bonus Show banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. You'll get access to all our bonus content. And you, my friend, you, listening right now, will be helping TMOS. Plus, we say swear words.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So please quit sucking and start listening to our wondrous parables that will improve your life. The Mike O'Mara Show.
Don't blow it!
Now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for March 5th, 2018, Rob Spiewak.
Have you prepared any parables for the bonus show this week?
Oh, I'll have a parable or two.
The mustard seed? Something with mustard seed? I'll have
a parable. Maybe this weekend. How about a parable? I'll tell you a parable.
Please.
I will tell the story of playing hockey on the pond while my sister was babysitting.
That's one of my favorite parables.
Oh, yes.
We can put that in the bonus show this week with graphic detail.
Scatological.
So, if you added 30 minutes to your Oscar telecast, you missed this moment, I believe. Frances McDormand's acceptance speech. And when she came up, you mentioned earlier that she scares you a little bit.
Yes.
Well, she'll scare you a little more when you hear the laugh that she gave when she opened her speech.
Okay. Come on.
She claimed she was hyperventilating. I don't see that because she came around awfully quick. I think she's just a weird bird.
She's crazy. Enjoying her moment, too. She's enjoying
Bless her heart,
her
yeah.
moment.
And she should also know that no one in the world is seeing it because everybody's DVR has stopped.
Yeah, I mean, I added 30 minutes. I'll never do that again.
Yeah, it's like going
I'll
into hiding.
An hour. What am I supposed to add 2 hours to it?
I usually add the next two shows. I don't do the 30 minute extension. I just add the shows.
I just record it into the next morning.
Yeah, that's what you ought to do. Now, I think there's something better than a great joke at the Oscars telecast, and it's a joke that falls flat. And it is so amazingly awkward because, you know, there are literally billions of people not laughing at this.
Star Wars.
Yes, it is. They brought up.
Okay, I have to jump in here.
Okay, please do.
This is just so poorly written, poorly delivered.
Yes.
Poorly reacted to. And there's Star Wars. And it's like, okay, enough with the whole shtick.
They come out with Luke Skywalker and BB-8 and two of the people from the new show, the new movie. And this joke falls flat.
BB-8 wants to know why he's the only one not in a tuxedo.
It's delicate. No designer would dress him.
Yeah, I think it's robot discrimination. No, that's the thing.
Is it?
Okay.
Did you hear the okay?
Yeah.
That's an okay. Said, okay, the bit's over. It sucked.
Time
Let's
to go.
Just move on.
However.
And then Mark Hamill looked really like almost pissed off.
Well, he's not looking well anyway.
No, he doesn't look well. He's not.
Hasn't looked well for a while. But I think I fixed the joke. A simple edit has corrected this Star Wars joke.
Okay.
Here, try it this way.
BB-8 wants to know why he's the only one not in a tuxedo.
It's delicate. No designer would dress him. Come on.
I think it's robot discrimination.
See, that's better, right?
You just edited in the Frances McDormand.
If they had led with Best Actress.
Say that again.
All right, here we go.
Let me hear your version of it.
He's the only one not in a tuxedo.
It's delicate. No designer would dress him. Come on.
I think it's robot discrimination.
That's awesome.
Just give it to Rob in post-production. You do that on your own?
Sure. Yeah, good. Of course, like that's that. All you got to do is just awesome. Put the laugh
well
in
done.
There.
Oh, that's funny.
We don't have time to play the clip, but did you know Friday night, Jeopardy ended in a tie?
Oh.
It's never happened before. And do you know how they handle it?
Fist fight.
Yeah, exactly. With right. Alex. No, what they do is they do one more question that the two people have to ring in.
Like they do a ring in.
Yeah, they do after the final Jeopardy. So anyway, wow. The lady, and it was, I didn't know final and I didn't know the ring in. So there's that. Marvin Gaye and Rat don't seem like two artists that work well together.
No.
This is a decent mashup. They bent the pitch on Marvin, so they cheated a little bit. But I was surprised.
Well, Marvin Gaye doesn't work well with anybody anymore.
Not anymore. He's part of the silent generation.
Yes, he is. Sorry. Absolutely.
Guys. Stop. Yeah, Oscar.
Yeah.
Cut it out. Yeah. This works better than I thought it would. You could have told me yourself that you love someone else.
It's there, I heard, through the grapevine. Not much longer would you be. That's a stretch to me. That's a stretch.
You, I think the pitch bending bothers you?
Don't you think they bend it a little too much?
Maybe, I think the thing is that the cadence matches, which surprises me, because you think of Grapevine as a more of a ballad song, and that's certainly a rock and
roll
song.
How did Frances McDormand enjoy the Marvin Gaye?
I actually played it for her, and this was her reaction.
Okay.
Come on.
We might need to keep that one handy.
I'll tell you what, laugh. Mike, because you I like, I'll send it along. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's the best. It's like that's more entertaining than the entire Oscar telecast.
Come on!
Oh, coughing up a lung. Oh, my God. That's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode. Be sure and get our TMOS app and unlock the Mike O'Mara Show 24 hours a day. Send your messages for our Tuesday mailbag to Rob with the extra V at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Late tonight,
and all
please.
Regular mail. Yeah, real late. All regular mail to TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 2-0-0-7 each day. 96 Americans are killed by guns. Visit every town for gun safety to find out how you can end gun violence in America. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Okay. Come on.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.